The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Time now for FMB Friday, and today we put the spotlight on burgers. Who doesn't like a good burger? I mean, you get that juice patty, the right kind of veggies involved, the right kind of sauce. Whew. And this was one of my goals this week. I was going to have a burger for lunch, and I accomplished that. But when you feel like a burger, you know, one of the names that automatically comes to your mind is Burger King. Every day, more than 11 million guests visit Burger King restaurants around the world. And customers keep coming back to Burger King because they're known for serving high-quality, great-tasting, affordable food. It was founded back in 1954, Burger King, the second largest fast food hamburger chain in the world. Now, despite being busy trying to be on top of the fast food scene, Burger King has not forgotten to give back to the community. In fact, here in Singapore, Burger King has actively looked into areas which it feels it can make a meaningful impact. And they are currently in the midst of a fundraiser for the Association for Persons with Special Needs. Why does Burger King see the need to give back? And how is Burger King keeping up with the changes in the F&B scene in Singapore? In the studio with me this morning is Go Chin Hao, the CEO of Burger King Singapore. Chin Hao, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Elliot. Thank you for having me today.
Ah, Burger King, who doesn't love it? Let's go back in time. Do you remember when Burger King first came to Singapore? And this is the tough one. Which was the first Burger King outlet in Singapore?
Well, you're really testing me, seriously. Well, the first Burger King opened in Singapore in 1982, and the location is Peninsula Plaza.
Wow, you know, really takes you back.
And I was only 7 years old in 1982. It's been a long time. It's been rather significant. In fact, in my earlier memories, Liat Towers was the most significant Burger King store.
Yes, that was actually the first one that I visited that comes to memory anyway. It was quite an old one. Very nice, yes. That one. Roughly how many outlets are there in Singapore?
Right now, we have about 50 outlets and growing.
Okay. Mm. Now, just for fun, if we were to dive into the most popular outlet, say the busiest outlet in Singapore, which one is it?
Honestly, in terms of highest traffic, it would likely be the airport.
Highest traffic, the airport?
24 hours, nonstop, daily action. Right from 4 a.m., you get the travelers flying out.
Right.
And then you get customers coming all the way until midnight as well. You got a lunch crowd. So airport is actually probably the most busy store in Singapore.
Very interesting, because they have all these like fancy burger joints there and fancy restaurants at the airport. But I guess travellers, they still like their convenience, pick up a burger and just move on. Is it different though if you talk about most heaviest volume versus most profitable outlet? Is there a difference? Is it a different outlet altogether?
It is not too far off.
Oh, okay.
Usually the highest volume is usually the most profitable.
Okay, fair enough, Yeah. All the outlets here in Singapore franchise under Burger King Singapore, there used to be a time where some of the stores were owned directly by the US owner. Share more a little bit about that and why the change.
That happens actually about 5 years ago. I think there was a time actually, it's not just Burger King Corporation looking into the how the franchising model will work. I think at the end of the day, Burger King Corporation, I used to be part of that team. It was based in Singapore. It was the regional office was in Singapore, the Burger King Asia Pac office. In fact, till now it is still in Singapore. There was a time that they talk about unleashing the potential of accelerated growth within the region. The best way for us to do that is actually to diversify and spread it out, thus the franchising model. So Burger King is actually one of the earlier ones to jump on the bandwagon. And likewise, subsequently, the rest of the QSR competitors also follow suit. We have decentralized scenes, and we have identified great working partners within the region, like currently working with 99 Speedmart to actually be the master franchisee for Singapore and Malaysia.
I have good memories of Burger King because as a kid, I used to compare my face with a Whopper. It used to be really huge. And one of my favorite questions to ask on F&B Friday is the R&D process when it comes to new food items. Tell us a little bit about this. I mean, how do you guys come up with it? You're CEO. Do you take part in R&D as well?
Of course, of course.
Well done.
I think the most important hat that I wear every day is actually as a customer and as a guest, first and foremost. It is essentially very important for all of us working in the team to be a customer first.
Yeah.
Because if we do not understand what the customers want, will not be able to come up with the interesting flavors and the innovations that caters to the needs of the customer. So I personally participate in it. In fact, it's the most exciting part of the week. We invest heavily in R&D.
Which day of the week is this? Is it Friday?
No, it's not Friday. Oh. It's not Friday. Usually it's the meat of the week because there'll be preparation. Okay. I mean, for operational issues, it's more to make sure that everything is planned properly. And then usually in the middle of the week, we'll test it. And then usually it's ramping up towards the weekend.
Right.
That's the clue for you.
Right, right. So that's a nice pick-me-up, middle of the week. You know, it sort of gets the staff morale up. Which are some of the more popular items or the most popular item on the Burger King menu?
I believe as a Singaporean, you will agree with me that mushroom Swiss is the most successful and really one of the most popular flavor in Singapore.
Yeah.
Honestly, a little bit of trivia. This is very unique to Singapore.
Oh.
A lot of people would have thought that mushroom Swiss, since it's so popular in Singapore, and Singaporeans being so cosmopolitan and well-traveled, we will probably be enjoying a flavor that is common across the rest of the region. However, I used to run Burger King Taiwan. When I was running, and then I realized that mushroom Swiss is actually missing from the menu. So the first question I was asking the team is like, seriously, guys, we should launch this ASAP. And they look at me, say, hey, boss, I think you should do a dipstick first. I like, why? So they told me that many years ago they did launch it because they saw the success in Southeast Asia. But however, after the promotion, it didn't continue well. So they took it off the menu.
Right.
So it's very interesting. And then since then, having exposure over other region, I realized that in mushroom Swiss works very well in Singapore, Malaysia and Brunei.
In Brunei. Yeah, actually there are.
So we are the only three markets who permanently have it on the menu.
Burger King in the US, and this is big news, they are testing three new Impossible Burgers at 180 locations. Burger King Singapore, I guess you guys are looking very closely. Are you expected to do something like that or expand a vegan aspect of your menu?
Well, that is a tricky question.
No, because everyone is jumping on this whole alternative meat bandwagon. Yeah. And, you know, we've spoken to various fast food outlets who have taken a wait-and-see approach. Mm. I want to know your stand.
Okay. Likewise, I think at the end of the day, we are still one big family. There is definitely conversation and exploration going on at this moment. I think for us, we didn't want it to become a fad. So that's why there's a lot of thoughtful planning within the QSR community in Singapore. There, if I speak on their behalf. But however, I believe that plant-based is something that we cannot avoid. Because in Burger King Singapore, we do sell a plant-based, not exactly a plant-based, but a non-meat option already on the menu. And we do have customers writing in and thanking us for not treating it like a limited time offer, but permanently keeping it on the menu.
Right.
So we do understand there is a group of customers out there that actually really because of their lifestyle needs, they hope to have more plant-based option. So I would say that this is definitely something we are putting some serious conversation with.
You're talking to someone with a lifestyle need. It's very different.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not so much, but we have to admit that we have to be very careful.
Sure.
Because plant-based in this case doesn't mean that it has to be entirely vegan, because the processing plant and even our kitchen is not entirely vegan proof.
Okay, that's an aspect that a lot of people don't know. The kitchen is not vegan proof. Worth knowing. Thank you for sharing that. I want to talk about how Burger King is one of the top QSR or quick service restaurant chains in Singapore. So how does Burger King stay relevant in this competitive market? Your thoughts?
Well, we do a lot of social listening. We are aware of the environment that we work in. I myself and my team is always hitting the ground, going to stores, going to talk to our customers, investing in R&D, investing in consumer research, and therefore we can stay relevant. And a lot of times we also rely on our vendors and suppliers.
Sure.
I think these are the hardworking people that we sometimes forgot to acknowledge. They are the ones that also bring us a lot of information around the region and actually come to us. For example, the Impossible Burger. It is also without doubt that if they haven't been able to come to talk to Burger King Corporation in US, then that would never have happened.
Jinhao, I'm guilty of this, you know, indulging in Burger King breakfast. And you guys are really revving up your game. Now you're offering breakfast sets for as little as $2. Took a while to get into the breakfast game compared with the other fast food chains. But tell us about this process. Why did you take a little bit longer and did it pay off?
Actually, we always have a very good breakfast program in Singapore. And LA, you're right. We are late in the game in terms of really putting attention to this category. But like morning drive time, we all know that people do tune in. So which means there's a very large population of people out there that actually wakes up early and go to work. Mm. And why don't we help them start their day right? So we decided to relaunch our breakfast again. with using price as a messaging. Come try our amazing range of breakfast, our unique offerings. And honestly, we are very differentiated as well. We use a croissant-based sandwich as the base for the burgers in replacement of the buns that we have for the afternoon parts. And it's more buttery, and that is actually more attuned to the needs for breakfast. So we found that the price point was consideration for many of the customers in the past. We decided to conduct this launch focusing on, you know, you can actually get it at $2, you know, if you didn't know before and it was very successful.
Yeah.
And since then, we also started introducing better ingredients, such as avocado. So avocado is becoming more widely accepted by Singaporeans. You know, in all the salad bars that you go to, you see that.
Yeah.
So we actually found a supplier that can actually give us sliced avocado, fresh as possible, ready to use. And we decided to tap on that and offer the avocado breakfast sandwich.
Yeah. So because of these brunch places, I tell you, the avocado toast and whatnot.
Yes, yes. And if you want a good omelette, you should really give us a shot. We serve a very good ham and cheese omelette.
Yeah. But you know, you don't need to sell me, man. I'm a fan and I'm starting to think that this was a mistake we're doing. You're making me very hungry. Let's talk about your time in Taiwan. You were a general manager, Burger King in Taiwan.
Yes.
How are the markets different? You mentioned earlier on, like for example, we love mushroom Swiss. Over there, not so much.
Yes, not so much.
How the audience is different or the consumer is different?
Well, first and foremost, the speaking language itself is very different.
Mandarin, but Mandarin. Slightly different, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the Hokkien and the dialect.
Yes.
As much as they say it's the same, but it's really not. It's different, you know. So it is a very interesting time. I spent about 3.5 years in Taiwan.
Nice.
Personally, I fell in love with the country. I love the place. The people are very hospitable. I always feel that the biggest asset for Taiwan is actually the people.
You're very friendly. Which parts of Taiwan? Were you traveling all around or just stationed in one particular state?
I was based in Taipei, but because Burger King, the business, we do look into other areas, so I get to travel.
Sure.
In any case, I do encourage you to explore Taiwan. off the beaten path. It's really beautiful. The environment there is really very different from Singapore. So it was actually quite a culture shock when I was posted over there. I was tasked to turn around the market.
How did you do that?
I think the first important thing is really to first not bring on the foreigners' lenses and try to apply what I believe works in Singapore and other countries and just force it upon them. We spent a lot of time undergoing immersion. We conducted deep conversations with interviews with customers, our target audience. We speak to our customers of our competitors to hear what are their feedback about why they are not coming to Burger King. It took more than a year before we got all the necessary information. So we distilled that into a very actionable plan.
Okay.
And give ourselves a reasonable timeline. And we start communicating again. So communication was raised as one big issue.
Sure.
Because it affected awareness. At the end of the day, being in fast food QSR, we need to be more forthcoming in leading rather than be following. Otherwise, a lot of times, customers will actually push you out of their mind. So that was one of the big turnaround that we did. Big major advertising campaigns talking about what we are good in, you know, rehashing that Whopper. Why is a Whopper still the best?
Mm.
And it actually resonated because customers started coming back and thanking us and saying that, hey, we almost forgot about you. But thank you. It's time that we are actually at the back, always supporting you. So that really helps to drive and turn around the business.
Oh, I'd like to touch on Singapore then. Is Singapore facing any slowdown issues where Burger King is concerned? And also, in recent years, I've noticed, and this is one of the most interesting things, I think, is that in terms of interior design, the Burger King outlets have been changing. There's more wood, there's more black metal. Was there a reason behind this? Very homely look.
Man, Elliot, thank you for highlighting this. No, seriously, these are the subtle things that we are investing in to really get the customers to really feel at home.
Yeah.
Okay, personally, one of my previous company I worked for is Starbucks. So I'm also somewhat heavily influenced by the third place. And personally, when I took over Burger King Singapore, I really have the dream that, hey, I'm a Singaporean man. I better do it well for Singapore.
Sure.
And when we opened stores, right, I took a different twist to it by applying neighborhood knowledge in each of the stores we design.
Okay.
So Burger King Singapore, even though you have seen that we have the more brown, more wood, more timber elements, right, that is actually the garden grill concept. Okay. But if you look deeper, right, there is still there's a subtle difference from store to store. Like in Singapore, we actually launched a curvature counter Why? Mm. Because, and then the counters between them, you can actually allow the guests and our service crew to be able to interact. And this is only available in Singapore. Because these are the small nuances that I got inspired by looking at house retail and service models. Example, this is inspired when I go to the airline check-in counter. Do you remember lugging your luggage and putting on the track for them to bring it in? So then I was saying, what's stopping us from creating this one-on-one service counter impression? Mm. So as much as people are talking about that, we are moving into digitalization, relying on gadgets, self-order kiosks, we are very forefront in also leading that. But however, we must not eliminate the personal experience in the restaurants.
Yes, of course. It is a service industry after all.
Yes.
So Burger King currently running a charity fundraiser for the Association of Persons with Special Needs. The fundraising sale has now been extended to March 31st. It was actually supposed to end in December. Tell us a little bit about the extension of this fundraising sale and why did you choose the Association for Persons with Special Needs?
The reason for extending it is at the end of the day, we realized that, hey, this is for a good cause. And it's the season of gifting and sharing. And immediately after Christmas is CNY. So we thought it makes perfect sense for us to extend it and actually raise more funds for APSN. And the reason why we work with APSN is simply because one of our CSR mission is to create brighter futures by empowering individuals and feeding potential through education and training. When we are looking for a CSR initiative in Singapore, we identified that the underprivileged people with special needs is an area that is underserved. So we reached out to them and we spoke about it. And we started actually as an internship center, as an appointed internship center with them to conduct training and providing employment opportunities for them. So what galvanized us to continue in this on our approach, we know we are doing right, is I remember walking along the streets one day, a lady approached me and said, hey, are you working Burger King? Are you the boss of Burger King? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, this customer is going to complain something. So she grabbed my hand and shook my hand and she thanked me. She said, thank you so much. So I said, oh, no worries. Why? Thank you. But what is it about? So she explained that my son from APSN is actually working in your store.
Right.
I was like, oh, but how do you recognize me? Because I'm not even near the store that her son is working. She said, because that day I was sitting there observing my son. I was worried about him. You came and you interacted with him.
Wow.
I remember your face.
That's nice.
Man, I tell you, Elliot, if you get this kind of feedback direct from a beneficiary of something you really generally wanted to do, it just tells you that you are doing it right. So with this, we decided that let's take it further. Let's also start an initiative to raise funds for APSN to help more people, and which is why we decided to extend the sale of this T-shirt.
I'm very happy to hear that, Chin Hao. If anyone wanted to help in raising funds or donate, where can they go? What can they do?
They can go to any of our 50 outlets and purchase the T-shirt. Okay, 70% of the proceeds will go entirely to APSN.
Fantastic stuff. Go Chin Hao, CEO of Burger King Singapore, in the studio with me this morning. Chin Hao, thank you so much for coming by. Merry Christmas in advance.
Thank you so much.
FMB Friday on The Breakfast Huddle, written and produced by Nadira Kamarudin.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.